Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. Steve and I are together in the Cleveland studio, and it's been a fun week in politics to sit back and watch the nuttiness. Before we get into the politics, though, the storm that has hit the most of the country and really has fucked up lots of places, mostly getting attention from Texas, is a natural disaster, and I want to say that I feel for all the people in Texas. I know you grew up in Texas, or were born in Texas, and
yeah,
you were born in Louisiana, actually, weren't you?
No. Born in Texas. Family in both Louisiana and Texas, and Louisiana is also getting it, but Texas is really getting it. My mom spoke with my aunt. She's staying with a cousin, and my other family members are okay. Got electricity back today. Still don't have water, but, you know, they have electricity, so that's good. They're doing various things, boiling snow. They had some water reserves. So, I mean, it's not good, but, you know, they're managing. It's a bad situation that doesn't, unfortunately, have to be this way. It didn't have to be this way, but we're here, and so, you know, Texas needs a lot of help. I know for a fact that we're sending the state of Ohio, like, our electricity, gas, and plumbers are from the Midwest, are in Texas right now, helping them get online. Obviously, we're, you know, people from the Midwest and the North are familiar with cold weather and how to get stuff back online and
sure,
de-ice it and everything else. And they're helping them with that process. So hopefully, you know, that really can have an impact sooner than later. And hopefully, man, just people stay safe and stay alive and get through it.
You know, something I didn't think about until I was listening to some talking. There's a lot of codes and things that go into utilities and plumbing and whatnot. And like in Cleveland and in Buffalo, and I've got a family, you know, a lot of my family is in plumbing. excuse me. Steve, we've got to start again. Okay. No, we don't. Actually, we don't. We're fine. The program was fucked up. Sorry. I'll edit that out. Or not. It's funny. So the depth at which you need to put water pipes in Cleveland, in Buffalo, is, I think, 36 inches below the ground because that won't freeze when it gets super cold. In Texas, they don't have those codes because they typically don't need them. Yep. So when something crazy like this hits, it typically, you know, causes more problems. So this is such a massive storm. I need to jump into this, and you have heard me rant multiple times about climate change and all that, and that's obviously an issue I've spoken about on the show and I'm passionate about. I've seen so many people posting shit on Facebook and other social media saying, where's the global warming now? This is what happens when you fuck up the climate. One day or one week of cold stuff doesn't mean global warming isn't real. It means that we have done enough shit to fuck up the climate in general that weird things happen. The choice of the word term global warming is, I hate to say it, kind of a typical Democratic fuck-up. They chose that term 25 years ago, and now every time it gets cold, people who don't want to believe it say, where's your global warming now? This is an impact of climate change. Don't tell me, well, you're changing the name now. Yeah, we're changing the name now because we chose it stupidly back in the day. Now it's happening, it's here, and we need to wake the fuck up about it. And I also want to rant one more time, there were people posting, this is part of the Green New Deal, blah, blah, blah. And they were showing pictures about it. The picture that I've heard was shown about a wind turbine freezing was something from Sweden like 10 years ago. And this is another example of fucked up media. I'm having a flashback to here's a Trump rally and they're showing all these people in the streets in Houston. No, no, they're not in the streets of Houston. That was the Cleveland Cavaliers celebration parade. You assholes are showing the streets flooded, yes, but not for what you want. Sorry for the rant, but that had to happen.
No, that's fine. I don't know if that's a rant, but so here's the deal. I am not a scientist. I am not super passionate about climate change,
right,
or global warming or whatever. I just mostly because it doesn't interest me. I get it. Like, I probably should be, but I just don't fucking care. But let's be honest about this. Something's going on, right, with the climate. Like, weird shit is happening, whether it's the once-in-a-lifetime hurricane that happens every fucking year.
Right.
Or shit like this. Now, the thing about what's going on in Texas is that there was a very similar storm pattern that happened in 1983. I was three because I was born in 80, which means I would have been in Texas when this storm hit, right? Like, so I guess one of my takeaways from this is if I was alive, was alive and born the last time something like this happened, then it just seems like anyone in charge down in Texas, right, would be older than me, you know, at least my age or older, and someone should have had the foresight to say, if it happened once in 1983, what is going to stop it from happening again? And that's something that we should be prepared for, right? Like, so, you know, and I'm not saying that they need to winterize like you would if you were in Minnesota or even Cleveland or you know, Buffalo or Pittsburgh. Boston, Pittsburgh, fine. But it just seems like there should have been certain precautions that should have been taken. Now, part of Texas's issue is that they deregulated, they cut themselves off from, you know, like the overall power grid in the region. And because capitalism is best and, you know, privatization is everything. Okay, great, fine. And so by doing that, you know, like a lot of those codes and things that you talk about go out of the window, and cost mitigation becomes, you know, priority number one. And they did a lot of, you know, things that they didn't do a lot of things that you would normally just do, out of precaution, because it's just like, oh, this is Texas. It's not going to get cold here. And if it does, we'll be able to figure it out, but we're not going to dig that extra 12 inches to prevent the because it's going to cost money. We're not going to do X. We're not going to do Y. We're not going to do Z. And like, I don't care who you are. You can be a utility expert and you can tell me that I'm not one. So how do I know? You know how I know? Because their entire fucking system shut down. Yeah. So clearly they cut fucking corners when it comes to putting this whole thing together. So get off your fucking high horse and get your ass down to Texas and help them figure it out. Yeah, like, so this is kind of the downside when you want to go private, you know, let's privatize everything, let's get rid of all the rules and regulations, it hamstrings everybody, it prevents these people from making profits, and it prevents blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, there you go. That's why there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance between, you know, people screaming.
Between California and Texas.
Perfect. Right, right. There's got to be a balance between California, where we have to regulate how you tie your fucking shoes, to Texas, where there's just no fucking rules.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because both states suffer from leadership, right?
How many people fled California because they were overregulated?
Right. There's too many taxes, there's too many regulations, so I'm going to go to Texas. There's no taxes, right? Like, there's no state taxes, and there's very little regulation. This is great. Okay, well,
until
it freezes. But I mean, like, listen, this was predictable. You want to know why? Because if it rains in Texas a little bit more than it's supposed to, they flood.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
Houston has no drainage.
They have no drainage. So, I mean, if it rains in Houston just a wee bit more than they anticipate, then, I mean, we're talking catastrophic damage that happens in that city.
And when they have a hurricane, which they've had a few, it fucking destroys that
city. And these hurricanes are becoming more frequent. Right? Now, you say it's climate change and we fucked up the earth, and that's fine. You may be right, but at the same time, this planet's been around a long fucking time. Way longer than we've had the technology to track and tell what the atmosphere does, the mood the planet is in, or whatever. So you say it's what we're doing. I can listen to an argument that says, listen, 1,000 years ago, this is the exact same weather pattern. You puny humans aren't doing anything. This is just what, now. Well, listen,
that's kind of a Thanos argument, but okay.
That's fine, but at the same, and I hate it because, like, it's, you can't necessarily prove it or disprove it because of technology and science. Like, we just don't have the ability to go back in time and figure it out. And based off of what we know, our emissions and all that other stuff is definitely having some sort of an impact, right? But I think it's fair to say that there's just shit that we don't know.
There's
variables out there. So we don't need to necessarily argue why shit is happening. But you can't sit here today, right, as a person who's grown up in the South and in the Midwest, right, and not say something different is going on with our weather and things are happening that I'm not used to, things are happening that I just can't fucking explain, right? Like, you know, take the Middle East, right? Saudi Arabia coming off the hottest year on record that they've ever had in Saudi Arabia that we've recorded. Guess what it did last month? It snowed.
Okay.
It snowed in Saudi Arabia. Right? Like, that's not a common occurrence.
I would say
that. Right? Like, snowing in the Arabian desert is not...
Camels covered in snow, not typical.
Not typical, but it happens. And here's the weird thing. You know the last time it snowed in Saudi Arabia?
You say 1983?
No, okay. 2016.
Oh, okay.
The last time it snowed before that was 2013. The last time it snowed before that, now mind you, these are in different regions, but the last time it snowed before 2013 was like 80 years prior.
Okay.
Right, like, so you look at that, and there are only two data points, right? There's only three data points. But look, we're talking weather, we're talking cycle, you know, things that happen in cycles, right? Like, something is happening on this fucking planet where it's snowing in Saudi Arabia, and it's doing it more frequently than every fucking 100 years, right? Like, so it's worth it to, one, pay attention to it and prepare for the fact of the matter is, whether it's caused by coal or
cow farts
or Chinese, whatever, something's going on. All right? Maybe it's just the mood the earth is in. But either way, whatever is causing it, we need to be prepared for it. So places like Texas, instead of trying to deregulate to own the libs, right, you owning libs, right, liberals and progressives and Democrats by not having regulations and everything else, you've killed people in your state. Yeah. You've hurt people in your state. You have hurt the commerce and the economy of your state and the fucking country, right? Because there is shit that grows in Texas and Louisiana, right? Like, someone brought up crawfish, right? The cost of crawfish is going to skyrocket. Why? Because they're not going to be able to survive, right? Like, we're rolling into crawfish season right now, and guess what? Those things are not going to survive. They're going to die. They're going to be undersized, and that is going to impact not only Louisiana economy, but you know,
I love gumbo.
Gumbo. But for the region. So this is having massive impact. Now listen, you can't, like, them having their power grid up and running and capable doesn't change the fact that it's going to hurt whatever fruits, vegetables, all that shit that grows out there. It's not going to help that, right? Like, you're still going to have that negative impact. But there are people who lost their lives, who have died, who have frozen to death. There are people who pneumonia, all sorts of other physical and health consequences that come with being in this type of weather and not being prepared, right? We all have winter coats and winter suits and snow pants and snow boots and all, like...
Came from the north.
People who came from the north who didn't get rid of that stuff, but most people down there aren't prepared for the cold in any way, shape, or form, right? And this is going to hurt them, and I don't want to politicize it and make it about Republicans and Democrats and progressives versus liberals or whatever. Like, it's not... There's no value in doing that, but there is value. Like, listen, if you want to fix this, Texas, like, stop blaming the Green New Deal that's a bill that has never been fucking passed.
Right?
I don't even know if it's been on the floor to be voted on. Stop blaming the damn... It's not the Green New Deal. It's not wind turbines. Only 10% of your power grid is connected to fucking turbines. It's not because the wind turbines failed, right? I mean, it's because you cut corners to save money because... you wanted to make money for those
private industry.
For private industry.
Sure. And I totally agree with you. Politicizing this does no one any good, especially while it's going on. When the ship hits the iceberg, don't start talking about who's driving it wrong. Get the fucking lifeboats out there.
Yeah.
And I mean, like 2.5 million people in Texas have been without power for multiple days when it's been below zero. I have lived in Buffalo.
I don't know if it's been below zero, but I know it's
below
been
freezing.
But it's
sorry,
been below freezing. Yeah.
Below freezing. I'm sorry. I was talking in Celsius. you know, if I...
You know, I can't read Celsius to save my fucking life. I have no idea what the temperatures are. Look, I've got friends in Canada, and they post shit all the time, and I'm like, I have no idea. Is it hot? Canada. Is it cold? Is it summer? Like, I can't say Canada. I can't read Celsius. Like, I'm such a stupid American, but anyway.
The Celsius system is annoying to me. The metric system is annoying to me in everything, but translating Celsius to Fahrenheit when it comes to day-to-day temperature, I can't do it either.
Right,
I'm a fucking engineer.
Because they'll put shit on there.
I can put the numbers up. I know what
put
the numbers mean.
And like, they'll say like shit is warm, and I'm like, but is it
27
like,
today? Like, that's 82 degrees.
What? Like, is it hot for you? Or is it cold? Would I be cold?
Having said that, we'd be better off if we'd use that system, because 0 to 100 is a whole lot more logical than 32 to 212 when it comes to...
Is zero freezing in Celsius?
Zero is freezing in Celsius. 100 is boiling point of water in Celsius. Huh. So, yeah, they crazily took two standard things and went 0, 100.
I got to be honest. Everything about the metric system seems better, except for the fact that I don't know it.
And when I was a kid, when I was in like third grade, we were told, you need to learn the metric system because that's what's coming.
Well, and you were so close, right? In Buffalo, right?
Yeah, but I don't think it was... Maybe the proximity to...
Because they didn't tell us shit.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, we never had to really... It was never brought up with us dealing with the metric system at all. In fact, it was... almost, it wasn't frowned upon, but
we were told, get used to it. This is going to be the wave of the future. It's this way now, but it's going to change.
No.
So really, in Youngstown, that was never, because you went to elementary school in Texas, but I think you moved to.
they definitely weren't talking about it in Texas.
Well, Mexico wasn't far away, and they're probably using the metric system.
True. Well, I'm misremembering. I mean, it was a long time ago, a lot of hits to the head, a lot of booze, but I don't remember it ever really being emphasized. And what's the kick in the dick now, though, is, you know, in powerlifting, you know, a lot of your federations, they use kilo plates, right? Which, you know...
You know, you've talked about this. It never occurred to me that it would be that foreign to you.
It is super foreign. And, like, I have a special calculator on my phone to convert from pounds to kilos so I know how much I'm lifting, right? Because the plates are different. Like, 25 kilos... 25 kilos is not 45 pounds. It is actually more, right? So I loaded up the bar once thinking that it was 650, and it was it was over 700 pounds because kilos are more than pounds or whatever. The plates, stupid. Communist math. Anyway,
yeah. All right.
So we're way off the beaten path here.
We are. But we got to stay in Texas because we're going to talk about our friend Ted Cruz.
Your boy.
Fat Dracula. So here's the thing. So Ted Cruz,
I'm pretty anti-name calling, but just that name for him is hilarious.
It is absolutely hilarious. And so
he's not even that fat as it relates.
No,
I mean,
it's
considering
that funny,
some of the people.
It's that funny, though.
Yeah.
That's why I hate that he grew the beard, because he looks less like Fat Dracula with the beard. I don't see. But so he flies to Cancun from Houston with his family during this crisis.
Yeah.
And that's not a good look, to be kind.
So it's definitely a bad look. And I've been dragging him on Twitter for it. Now, listen, if you want to send your family to Cancun or wherever because you've got the means, do it. I would do it. I would absolutely send the wife and kids to, yes, good move. Looks great. But you stay your ass here.
Your ass to Washington.
No, yeah, you stay your ass here. I don't know what him going to Washington does, but like you're a senator. You represent the state of Texas. So you need to fight like hell you know, in every sense of the word, if you physically got to go wrestle somebody, then go fucking do it to get power on, to get water running, to get people what they need to survive. Like, this is life or death for people. You're talking, I mean, this is, people are fucking dying. All hands on deck. This bullshit, well, I was just going to go down there with them to make sure that they got, like, get the fuck out of here. Right? Like, your wife is more, right? Like, your wife is more than capable of getting your, and it's not like his kids are young, right? It's not like they're dealing with two year olds or, you know, a set of twins that are under the age of five and they're, you know, just crazy running around. You know, the excuse was garbage. I was just going down to make sure my daughters were safe. First of all, you know, someone, and I hate that this happened, but all right, you know, the downside of being a public figure, someone leaked the text messages from his wife. It was his wife's idea, like, hey, we're going to go to Cancun. We stay at the Ritz-Carlton. It's this much a night. It's like $309 per night, which I'm like, that's not terrible
actually,
pricing.
That's not bad, actually.
But it's, you know, it's $309. We're going to stay there for a week. Hopefully this gets resolved. You should come. We can even float the bill for, you know, Bob and Susan and whoever, right? Like, so it's a bad look for Ted Cruz. He's making it seem like he was just going down there to make sure everybody got there safe, and then he was going to come right back.
Like, but the conquering hero.
Yeah, but I mean, we already found out that you didn't book your return flight until, you know, the morning that you were actually returning. He made it, like, it just, I get what he did. Like, well, fuck, I'm getting out of here. This sucks, you know?
Right.
And then, but he just basically punted on his duty as a public official and a representative of the state of Texas. And he's getting dragged for it. And I hope that the people of Texas remember this. And I don't see how they forget it. I don't think that Democrats really need to do much here because there aren't many Texans who are looking at Ted Cruz favorably right now. They may need to be reminded when it comes time to vote, you know, for their senator. But, I mean...
Okay, I'll tell you exactly what Texans need to do, or Texas Democrats need to do, is not run someone as dopey as Beto O'Rourke against him. Because we've talked about this for...
Well, and you know what the interesting thing about Beto O'Rourke is? Right now, you got the governor, Greg Abbott... who's, you know, making claims about this is why you can't have a Green New Deal because of this.
Like, right.
No, this is not, has nothing to do with the Green New Deal. You've got Ted Cruz, who, you know, skipped town and went to Cancun.
Backpedaling like a motherfucker.
And Beto O'Rourke, on the phone, trying to get together supplies and figure out what people need and getting things to people and blankets and food and getting people out of bad situations and getting them in the shelter. So, yeah, Beto O'Rourke is dopey, but he's doing the work that needs to be done right now in this moment. So, do I like the guy? No. Do I think his gun policy is trash? Yes. Do I think he is kind of a dope? Yes. But in this moment, that's what leadership is.
Yeah,
he's leading. Sure. Ted Cruz, not leading. Greg Abbott, not leading. Even Dan Crenshaw, not leading. Dan Crenshaw is on there. Again, he was another one talking about windmills and the Green New Deal and how windmills hurt birds and they're bad for the environment. Like, well, okay, that's all great. Like, you only have a few windmills in Texas, and that's not your problem. Your problem is that your lines aren't insulated and they froze. They're not deep enough in the ground and they froze. You don't have water running. You don't have electricity. Like,
you separated from the national power grid.
Right, you cut yourself off from the national power grid. Your power grid doesn't meet the standards of anybody else's, and so when inclement weather hit, your system failed. Right, like it had nothing to do with the Green New Deal, and yet Dan Crenshaw is out there blaming it as if, you know, like Texas was the first state to implement it to see if it would work, and it didn't. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's comical.
Right. Like, I mean, the whole concept that Texas is going to be one, like, it's just, it's insane.
For people listening for the first time, I have been a defender of Dan Crenshaw in the past. Not that I thought it was a pretty bright guy, but I thought he had his heart in the right place.
Listen,
were you not beating me over the head with that for that reason?
No.
Okay, I thought
you were. It's just because it's what he's doing.
Okay.
Right, I mean, and he can't go, like, I'm not, it's, it has nothing to do with you, it's what Dan Crenshaw is doing, and again, what really disappoints me about him is that initially, I agreed with you. I thought you were right that this guy could be a conservative Republican that you could get behind because he seemed level-headed. He seemed to have his heart in the right place. He seemed to want to reach across the aisle to make things work. He seemed to be receptive to the idea that there are some, you know, systematic changes that need to take place. And it seemed like a guy you could get behind.
Okay.
But over the last year, he's proven to not be that guy. Whether he's changed or that's what he's, or this is what he's always been, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, all I can go off of is what he's showing me and providing me. And right now, he's showing me and providing me that he's just a partisan hack.
For what it's worth, I was a defender and supporter's too strong, but I think he hasn't changed. I think he's been exposed. Yeah. I think he's a guy who the way he thought things through was right, he'd be really good, but he doesn't. I mean, my beef with him back in the day was, you know, 9/11 happened because they hate our freedoms. That is the most simplistic, ridiculous way of analyzing that attack ever. And that this guy went and fought because of that. I respect your courage. I respect your sacrifice. But to think that that's what happened is trying to oversimplify the world. And this is kind of an example of that coming back to bite us. Like, you try to simplify everything to one thing. We can't have this because the liberals want it. We can't have this because... No, there's a lot of moving parts in all these things. And when you don't take into account the bigger problem, and I'm not a scientist, but I am an engineer, and I've got to deal with moving parts in physical, you know, in physical science arenas all the time. And all the time, people want to say, here's the problem. Well, the problem isn't that fucking simple. There's lots of things going on. And when you try to break it down to, oh, if we just change this to that, it'll all be fixed. Typically, that doesn't work. Right. I'm dropping this off the rails.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I mean, it's the idea of everything having just a simple answer, and the simple answer is my answer, right? Whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, a Libertarian, or whatever it might be, if you just do this, if you just do what we say, everything will be fine. And it's no, this country is complicated. We've been around for a few hundred years. We're young as it comes to what it is to be a country, but we're intertwined with the rest of the world, whether some of us like it or not. And none of the answers to our problems are simple. None of them are straightforward. None of them are going to be fixed with the thing that you think is going to fix it.
Right.
Whoever you are, whatever thing you think is going to fix it all, is not going to fix it.
If we just recycled more plastic, everything would be fine.
Right.
No, I mean, there's more to it than that. That doesn't mean recycling plastic is a bad idea.
Right.
But
it's something that needs to be considered. But for every action, there is a reaction. And we've seen it. You know, one of the things people talk about is police reform.
Sure.
Right? And do the police need to be reformed? Absolutely. Yep. There are problems with it. I watched a video today of two officers. They go to a house somewhere down south, and a white woman opens the door. She's got a knife, and she just, it's a big closed door. She opens the door out of nowhere with a butcher knife and, you know, gets the female officer. The two officers, you know, they step back, they give her space. She drops the knife, throws it down. You know, she's on the porch. She throws it in the front yard. And then they tell her to, you know, get down on the ground, get on her hands and knees. She runs, picks up the knife, and goes to run at the officers. They shoot her. They put her down.
When they put her down, you mean killed her?
They shot. I mean, I don't know if she died, but I mean, about six holes in her. All so right. I doubt right. she made it, but maybe she did. I don't know. You never know with these people. And so you look at that, and the initial angle, or actually the entire video, is from the female officer's body cam. She was the one closest to the front door, and that door opens, and that woman comes out swinging with a knife right away, to the point where I kind of jumped.
Well,
right? I mean, it's just like, oh shit, this bitch got a knife. Now, why do I bring that up? Because they didn't have a choice. They had to fucking shoot that woman, right? Like, listen, you're gonna put me in a situation where someone is attacking me with a fucking butcher knife. Then look, I'm not playing games with you. I'm going to shoot you, right? Like, and sure. That's what police are trained to do. Now, if you want to sit there and make the argument that, well, they need to be trained better, right? Then we can have that conversation. But this is a real life situation where your theory and you sitting on the sideline saying, well, police shouldn't be so aggressive with their guns and they need to learn this and all that other shit, it doesn't fucking apply, right? Just when you apply it to real world situations, it doesn't apply. And your easy fix of they just need more training doesn't apply. And by the way, these are two white cops and a white woman, right? Like, so take the whole race thing out of it. This woman still ends up dead because she's aggressive with the police. How does that apply? Well, we talk about the way police interact with black people, right? And I'm also reading a book called The Condemnation of Blackness. And it literally goes through and it documents how basically this country turned being black into a crime, right? Over the years, from the end of slavery up until today, they criminalized being black. And not that simply, right? And so undoing what has been in process over the last 100 plus 50 years, mixed with the actual current dangers of today, there is no simple answer on how you fix the issues with policing. There's just not.
Correct.
Right? And it's a complicated, everything in this country that we deal with that is problematic, from the issues in Texas right now happening today, to the issues that we have with police happening right now to today, the issues that we have with resources and economics in urban areas, in rural areas. Those are all compounded over the last couple hundred years, and there are no easy fucking answers, right? So when we have these people who say, well, if you just do this.
And, you know, you and I talk about this off the air much more than on, but politicians promise things all the time, and they promise them on very simple things. You know, if we just deregulate, if we just lower taxes, if we just do this. It's not that simple, but that's what gets you elected. That's what gets you to power. That's what gets Ted Cruz to remain in office, despite the fact that he's a complete douchebag who's proven it time and time again. I mean,
you know what sucks here, at least for me with Ted Cruz, is I know Ted Cruz is a smart fucking guy. He just is, right? Like, I mean, I've read some of his stuff from, you know, over the years when he was at Harvard. From a legal standpoint, he's a really bright fucking guy. And unfortunately, he just doesn't use it in a way that's beneficial to anybody, right? Like, ultimately, Ted Cruz is only worried about Ted Cruz, right? He's not really worried about the people in Texas, right? He proved that this fucking week.
Sure.
Right? He's not really this man of all this, I don't know, pride and fortitude or whatever. Like, there's no, like, how the fuck do you sit there?
Who, by the way, named you Lying Ted?
Right.
One of the biggest liars in political history called you Lying Ted.
Exactly.
And you kiss his ass.
Right. And then to the point where you're willing to fight to keep him in office just because you don't like Democrats or you're what? I mean, it amazes me.
From a perspective of being completely disingenuous?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like, it blows my mind, but yet it shouldn't, because we see it across the board all the time, right? And it's not just Republicans. We see there's plenty of Maxine Waters, just complete full of shit, right? Nancy Pelosi, she's a master politician and manipulator, but full of shit. Chuck Schumer, full of shit. I don't know who are some of the other favorites. I mean, I think Bernie is legit.
I was gonna say Bernie Sanders, a guy who you ripped on
a
lot.
Like, he's Bernie, but I mean, Bernie,
he speaks,
you know,
his mind and he means what he says.
Right.
I don't know why I'm doing this.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that is. That either. Was a little tomahawk chop. I think AOC is legit. I just think that she's not like she needs to. She's a little rough around the edges. She gets kind of loose with fact patterns and facts, and some of her analogies aren't always on point, but I think her heart's in the right place, and if she can kind of stay on the path that she's on, she'll be all right when she cleans a lot of that up. But most of these politicians, they talk a good game, but they're really out just to stay. Once you get to that position where you're in power with the, you know, the money and the influence that you have, you don't want to get it up. I get it. And it's evident by what they accomplish, right? What they accomplish for the places that they represent, what they bring in. Like Mitch McConnell, I mean, he's the prime example of that, except for he brings a lot of fucking money into Kentucky, and you can't deny it.
True.
You know, I mean, and that's part of the reason why he keeps getting elected.
When I was living in West Virginia, Robert Byrd, who has some flaws, let's say it nicely. Ugh. I mean, that guy brought so much money to the state, like, we can't not vote for this guy. Yeah. He positioned himself to bring money into West Virginia in a way that was comparatively obscene. But, and the guy was a KKK member, and I mean...
KKK member? He's a fucking Grand Dragon
or whatever they are. Grand Wizard, one of those things.
I don't care.
Something from D&D. but you couldn't... They couldn't vote that guy out. Now, in West Virginia, being a grand whatever, from a racial standpoint, probably didn't hurt you as much as I wish it had. But, these guys have so much money coming in, so much influence, that it changes the way states are willing to vote. I don't think that holds true for Ted Cruz, but I do want to jump subjects and talk about the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, blamed the Green New Deal.
Who's a Republican.
Go ahead.
The reason why I say that is Donald Trump Jr. has been going off on a little bit of a Twitter rant. His father can't, so he's trying to pick up the pace. But people are so obsessed about Ted Cruz, and yet no one's focusing on, you know, the inept and ineffective leadership you're getting out of your Democratic governor. Now, Greg Abbott is the governor of Texas.
Yes, he is.
And Greg Abbott is a Republican.
Yes, he is.
So I don't know what the fuck Don Jr. is talking about.
Either does he, by the way.
Neither does he.
In his defense, he
doesn't
know either.
But I just thought it was worth pointing out. Like, this is the leadership of the, you know, the QGOP.
Yeah, and dumb has...
You don't have to say anything else. Yeah, there's nothing else to say.
Dumb has won. And the Republican Party is so interesting to look at right now, though, because Trump is still considered the leader of the Republican Party, which, if I was going to back this up 20 years, would be a whole different discussion. But the Republican Party is split between kissing Trump's ass and Mitch McConnell trying to kill Frankenstein's monster. He created this thing. It's tearing what he, I want to finger quote, believes in apart. And now the monster's coming back at him. So now Trump is trashing Mitch McConnell, who I am well documented as hating both of these men. But now they got to figure out who they're going to side with, because Republicans. Are we Trump people? Mitch McConnell to me is a phony, disgusting scumbag. You brought up the real point that he brings a ton of money to Kentucky.
So but I can just tell you right now, there's no question. There's no this divide you're talking about that everyone keeps talking about, and it's not there. Just stop.
What do you mean?
They are completely beholden to not necessarily Donald Trump, but Donald Trump's followers, the MAGA crowd, the people who wholeheartedly support what they believe Donald Trump is, right? Like, Donald Trump it's not him. It's what he represents. His followers, the people that voted for Donald Trump, are voting for the idea that he represents for them. And the Republican Party is behind that idea 100%. They don't like the delivery method. They don't like the messaging. They don't like how it's packaged. But they're behind the idea of it. So they will stomp their feet and complain about Marjorie Taylor Greene being a complete psychopath. But they're not going to do much in terms of, you know, like, she got censored, right? And they took her to, or I don't even know if she got censored, they took her off all the committees.
Right.
But she still got a voice, she still got a platform, and she's still using it. And while they initially said she's a little cuckoo, she's off her rocker, and we don't believe in this or that, that's about as far as it goes, right? In terms of Trump, he's a kook, he's this, blah, 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 whatever, but they're not going to bash him too much. Why? Because they don't want his followers, right, people in their state who follow him to turn on him.
They're terrified of being primaried. Now,
I don't even know if it's, terrified of being primaried, I mean, maybe, you're right, but I guess the question is, primaried by who?
By the Marjorie Taylor Greene of their district, whoever that is. Just crazy and stupid seems to be winning, and that kind of falls back on the discussion we were having before about when you try to make it a simple thing, like, if we just had deregulation, this would be great. Well, no. If we just had blah, blah, blah. One thing that's changed in all this, and I was going to say, I don't mean this to be disrespectful to the departed, but the loudest mouthpiece for the right for basically three decades has been Rush Limbaugh, who has died of lung cancer. And I hate speaking ill of the dead, but I think he is one of the worst influences in American history. If I was going to say, who has hurt America more, Osama bin Laden or Rush Limbaugh? I'm saying Rush Limbaugh, and I'm not apologizing for that.
He has
turned so many people into zombies, and it's their fault for following it. Fine.
You know what? I mean, people make choices on who they want to listen to, where they get their information from, and what they do with it.
True.
And if it wasn't Rush Limbaugh, it was going to be somebody else. And there's plenty, like, you can get mad at it all you want.
Mad. I just don't agree.
Okay. Well,
I think he defined a genre.
There's, and if you want to say everyone who's come after him is just copying him, okay, that's fine. I'm gonna push back on the Osama bin Laden thing. That's just not an apt comparison. But I mean, Rush Limbaugh, yeah, he is a negative influence on our body politic. There's no doubt about it. And you know, shame on the people who take his word as gospel. Shame on him and the people associated with his show that put out the misinformation and the disinformation. And you know, did they lie? No, but did they say things that they knew were maybe not quite true and maybe needed some verification? Or
I'm gonna call it a lie.
Could be left to the I think Rush Limbaugh was absolutely dangerous, and I think that he did cause a lot of harm. And I think that him getting the Medal of Freedom completely blemishes what that award is and what that means. And it hurt. It you know, the people who have it, who received it before him, I would be pissed. You know, kudos to Bill Belichick and Dolly Parton for you know, turning it down. They made up reasons why they wouldn't accept it from Donald Trump, but kudos to them. But you know, I don't want this to seem like I'm apologizing for Rush Limbaugh. I think he was a disgusting human being. I think that he knew that he was appealing to the lowest common denominator, and he intentionally manipulated them, and he intentionally used what they didn't know against them for his own financial gain.
Yeah, greed.
And to push, I believe, what he actually believed in terms of you know.
See, I disagree with you there. I think he was full of shit.
You're going to say he wasn't a racist?
No, he's definitely a racist.
Okay.
But I think,
I think a lot of the shit that he pushed, I think he believed a lot of the shit, a lot of the racist sort of dog whistles that he put out there, things that were 100%. Dog whistles and not 100%. Completely dog whistles, you know.
I agree. He was completely aware of that. But I think a lot of the bullshit he pushed about, you know, the liberals doing this and that, whatever, he knew he was full of shit. He just knew it made him popular. He did his whole career was based on, and I'm being very cliche here, but I stand by it, making the white guy eating lunch out of his lunchbox in his pickup truck, working at the factory, make that person feel like a victim, make that person feel like, and the people who are making you a victim were the people who were below you, not the people above you, who were the actual ones.
Yeah, but it's all tied together. Like, yes, it was personal and financial gain, but as he grew, he recognized that if he could inject what he was pumping out to Joe Blow on the radio, if he could inject that into our political system, into actual people, senators, congressmen, mayors, governors, the president of the United States, then it killed two birds with one stone, put money in his pocket, and also helped to spread what his worldview was. Maybe he knew it was bullshit. Maybe he didn't. I'm not 100% sure it fucking matters, because at the end of the day, he was very successful in what he was trying to do and the damage that he caused, right? Like, so you can nitpick whether it was personal gain, he wanted to, whatever, he did it, right? He did it, he went out, and, you know, he did it to the point where Donald Trump was elected and awarded him the Medal of Freedom. I mean, if this is literally, like, the last 18 months has literally been, like, the fucking Empire Strikes Back, like, the first time I saw it. You know, I mean, it's just like, what the fuck? Like, and listen, our, you know, trilogy, this thing needs to end a hell of a lot better than they did with Return of the Jedi.
The Ewoks aren't going
to
save us.
Right? Like, the Ewoks aren't going to learn how to braid hair and save us, right? So we need something a hell of a lot better than that to kind of, to sum this all up. You know, I've got, there's no love loss for Rush Limbaugh in me. And I just want to make sure that we're, I don't want to use hyperbole because I don't think it's necessary with him. I think that he was truly a villain.
He was truly a villain
that we could not beat, and we didn't beat him. And the only thing that beat him was cancer, right? And there's an argument that if you want to get into quantum and fate or whatever you want to say, you know, like the evil that he spewed out
karma
is what I was looking for. If the evil that he put out and the evil that he spewed eventually just manifested itself in his body, fine. It's not my thing, but
evil,
I mean,
wins sometimes.
Right. I mean, and with him, evil won. And that sucks.
Yeah.
It just does. And I don't know what else to say about it.
I was not going to revel in his demise. And I don't want to. Whether it's the Catholic guilt thing or whatever, I feel gross cheering for the death of someone. The reason I brought up Osama bin Laden was people cheered in the streets for the death of Osama bin Laden. And I didn't particularly fault them for it. I didn't think it was particularly right-minded, but I understood. This is the man who represented what happened on 9/11, and that was very visceral for me and a lot of most Americans your age and older. And so when I found out he was dead, I was glad. I felt ugly being glad about it. Right. And the same thing with Rush Limbaugh. I feel ugly that I'm glad he's dead, but I'm kind of glad he's dead.
No, I'm fine with him being dead.
I just wish he didn't do the damage he did beforehand.
This
is a Catholic guilt thing, maybe, but whatever.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you have it. I don't. I have no problem with him being dead. I have no problem with, I don't think there's anything to celebrate. The only good thing is that he can't do much.
Destroy America.
Right, he can't do much more harm. I mean, I don't know if his show will go on in syndication and how long it is, but hopefully he's not able to still recruit from the grave, so to speak, you know, playing reruns of a show or something like that. That's what scares me, because I'm sure he probably had a monster deal that would allow for something like that.
And there's so many people out there, though, Steve, that have, I mean, I bitch at Andrew Wilkow, who I think is a complete piece of trash. And you and I have talked about him on this show, and you've said when he's talking to Karen Hunter and talking to other people, he knows he's full of shit. Mm-hmm. He knows he's spewing nonsense to stir up ratings, but he copied that fucking model. And I'm sorry, if it feels like I'm yelling at you, I'm sorry, I'm not yelling at you. But he copied that model and realized, this will make me rich. I will do this. I will destroy honest discussion. I will hurt America because this works for me in this moment. And I think Rush Limbaugh invented that. Maybe, yeah, I'm wrong.
I mean, I think with Wilkow, though, there's a little bit of a difference, because I think that Wilkow at least, I think Wilkow is at least honest about what he's saying, right? Because the issue that a lot of people get mad at with Wilkow is that he goes into his shows fully prepared with the facts and the numbers, and he's read the document and everything else. Kudos to him. And the problem is, when you're driving in your truck down the street, you don't have everything at your finger. You're not going to bust out your phone to figure out what your counterargument needs to be. You feel like something that he's saying is bullshit, but there's no way you can go against it. It infuriates you and you turn it off. Now, I'm not saying that everything that Cal says is necessarily gospel, but what he's saying, it, what I've learned with him, is that most of the shit that he's saying is true. Now, it's true. It's true. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's right. Like, he bases it in fact and truth, which is what makes him better than a lot. Now, does that mean it can't be defeated? Like, I mean, whatever his stupid slogan is, we're
these
right,
these arguments
they're wrong.
Cannot be defeated. They're yeah, wrong. Yeah, I'm yeah, right. Yeah, I'm yeah, great. You're not. Whatever. Yeah,
right,
fuck
right,
you.
Right. But does that, is that true? No, because there are certain things, like he talked about housing policy before, which I happen to know a little bit about, yes, where know. He said something that was completely inaccurate and not true, but I don't have time to fucking call into a radio show and argue with him back and forth while I'm driving between jobs, right? So I think a lot of it is where a guy like a Wilkow has stepped his game up is Wilkow is saying, all right, I think that the listeners are a little bit smarter than what Rush Limbaugh did, but I can still manipulate them, but I'm going to take the facts and I'm going to present them in a way that is most appealing to them, that supports their narrative. They are coming here for confirmational bias. They want to be reaffirmed of what they believe and what they've been sold by Rush Limbaugh, what have you. So I'm going to present the facts in a way that helps them out the most. Now, if you dig a little bit...
I have a problem with that.
You can have a problem with it. It is what it is, though.
What you're saying is accurate, but to me, that's on the Limbaugh level of disgusting.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying that Wilkow is a better person. What I'm saying is that his style, right? Like, it's actually probably more dangerous, right? Because now if people are coming at you with these actual facts, you got to figure out, like, how this is being presented and if it actually is true or not. And then if it is true, you have to figure out, like, all right, what the fuck do I do with this information? And that's a different sort of animal that you're dealing with.
I think confirmation bias has become the standard, and you're going to tell me that goes right and left, and you are correct. But I think the dangers of the Limbaughs and the Wilkows and the Sean Hannitys are
it's all fucking
more,
dangerous, Jim. It is all fucking dangerous because you can't, like, here's the thing. Progressives and liberals will sit there and scream that every fucking thing is racist and everything is an attack and everything is an assault and that you can't assume a person, like all these sort of things, right? Like they will sit there and be, like, and if you listen, right, to a very far left wing progressive person and everything that they, like, if you listen to that, like, that is just as dangerous as the shit that's being spewed on the right.
I don't agree.
You don't have to agree. You're wrong, and we've seen fucking proof of it. Like, people on the left take shit way too fucking far, and it is just as dangerous as a right-wing extremist to the point where it makes a giant fucking circle, right? And we have examples of it throughout history of people taking progressive left-wing shit too far and it becoming dangerous and taking progressive conservatism too far, and that becoming dangerous.
Is there a left-wing version of Rush Limbaugh?
Probably not.
Okay. So there's no one that literally unifies left-wing nuttiness and says, do this or, you know, they were ditto heads or whatever the fuck Limbaugh's followers were.
What were they?
Ditto heads. That was an expression they used, mega dittos. It was a Trump. It was a Limbaugh thing back in the day, back when dittos actually existed. Because that's how far he goes back. Do you know what a ditto is?
I don't.
Really?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't
about.
Know what a ditto is? That's hilarious to me because ditto was basically a Xerox machine. Do you know what a Xerox machine is?
I mean, I know what a fucking photocopier is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Dittos. A ditto was what was produced by a recycled
but what,
image.
What is
so
it?
Ditto. It was a Xerox machine. It was a...
Is it the machine or the image that it produces?
It was the...
The fuck are we talking about?
I don't know.
A ditto?
A ditto? This is funny to me. I'm not that much older than you. I mean, yeah, I'm...
There's a decade between us. I mean,
that's
a lot of time.
Thank you.
Well, no, I'm just saying, I mean, like, in terms of something like this...
That's hilarious to me. That's not to be a dick. It's just, like, the term ditto... What, the movie Ghost. Oh my God.
Don't do this.
Okay. So when Patrick Swayze would get told I love you by Demi Moore, he would say ditto, which means a copy, means right back at you. And that was like a premise of that movie. Because ditto.
So I've heard the term, I remember the term ditto being very popular when I was younger. And for some reason, I always equated it with ellipses. I don't know why. Like the three little dots at the end of it. Like,
because that was kind of a repeat. Yeah.
But I see it now.
This is kind of funny.
I've never heard of a copy machine referenced as a ditto before.
They were called ditto machines. They were a ditto was a replica.
I'm still having trouble making that connection to Rush Limbaugh, but okay.
He called his followers ditto hits.
Oh, because they were copies of him.
Right. So, so it was mega dittos. Was his thing. If you ever listen to the Alan Cox show, he calls it Mega Dildos because he took ditto and replaced it with dildo.
Got it.
So, all right, that took a weird turn.
Weird.
And we're going a bit long, and I actually want to beat up a couple of Democrats.
Sure.
Mostly Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah.
Andrew Cuomo is the governor of New York. Now, I have never been a fan of his, and oddly because of gun laws.
All of Hollywood. Hold on. I'm sorry. You asked me. Is there a more dangerous or is there something on the left?
Oh.
Like, and is there a singular person? No. But if you look at what Hollywood does in terms of the messaging in their movies or just the, you know, various Hollywood stars and their messaging in general, and like just completely being in completely ill-informed, right? And just throwing out topically, you know, like headline, soundbite, you know, I support this, that, progressive, left wing, whatever. I mean, come on.
Okay, but those people don't have a daily platform. There's no one listening to...
They've got all of Hollywood, every movie they produce.
There's no one saying, hey, George Clooney, tell me how to think for 4 hours a day.
Well, Seth MacFarlane.
Who?
Seth MacFarlane.
What, is there a bigger fan in this country of Seth MacFarlane than you?
Probably not,
okay.
But, I mean... We're going to say he doesn't have an impact?
He doesn't have the same kind of impact. I mean, he has some phenomenally funny shows that you are a huge fan of.
I don't think
Seth MacFarlane contributes.
He's not Rush Limbaugh. He's not. Right, he definitely contributes to the body politic, and he definitely contributes to how people think about politics and how they think about government and how they think about socioeconomic.
He's also intellectually honest, even though he's doing it through sarcasm.
I'm not saying that he's not. I'm just saying that shit has an impact.
Okay.
And he tends to lean left.
Yeah.
A lot.
But again, he's intellectually honest. Rush Limbaugh was not.
And
Andrew Wilkow is not.
And I don't think the danger of the progressive left has to look exactly like the danger of the right. Right? We just said the answer is never simple. And
there was
Rush Limbaugh. He was one that you could put a finger on. But if you don't think that having multiple people with multiple platforms all different, all saying various things at various levels, isn't just as dangerous as one guy drilling out to millions of people, then I don't know if we're on the same page. I'm not saying that Seth MacFarlane on his own is the next Osama bin Laden, but what I'm saying is that the left doesn't necessarily need a Rush Limbaugh because they've got a lot of people who think like they do with massive platforms on all different levels, from radio to TV to movie to news to Netflix to the documentaries and everything else that get produced on a massive level to promote the ideas and the thoughts on the left. You can't say that that's not true because it's everywhere you look. So that, to me, is just as dangerous as one guy running his mouth about bullshit, because you've got a lot of different people who are putting a lot of shit out there that's not accurate and or true in the name of progressive left politics. That, to me, is just as dangerous.
I don't see it as nearly as dangerous because Seth MacFarlane's not expired.
It doesn't have to be Seth MacFarlane. That was just an example.
Okay. But I mean, to me, he exposes truth through humor, which, as a comic, I fucking love.
Right. I love both.
I don't know a bigger fan of Seth MacFarlane than you.
I think it's great. And maybe Seth MacFarlane is a bad example, but what I'm saying, like, you can't deny what I'm saying about Hollywood and media in general, right? You want to say, like, you will stop yourself from saying the liberal media, but we all know that other than the channels that have dedicated themselves to Trump, whether it's Fox or ONN, Newsmax, whatever, CNN, MSNBC, Headline, whatever they are, they all lean left and they all push a very progressive left narrative, even if they say that they're being objective. They prove their inability to be objective over the last 4 to 5 years, right? And it's not just them. Whether it's Vice News or Axios or Slate or Mother Jones or Robert De Niro or Samuel Jackson or Alyssa Milano or pick a star, right? I mean, they have multiple mouthpieces where conservatives on the right, if you're a conservative in Hollywood, most of them don't say anything. And the few that do have been completely ostracized. When's the last time James Woods has been in a movie, right? We both agree that he's a good actor. We also both agree that he's a scumbag. But being a scumbag hasn't stopped many people in Hollywood. But there's a reason why you haven't seen James Wood in a movie in,
no one
I don't
has
know,
ever
15 years.
No one's discriminated against Clint Eastwood, who is as conservative as they get.
He makes his own fucking movies.
Okay. All right.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, that's just. I mean, he does though. I mean, he stars Woods. In them. He writes them. He directs them. Okay. He produces them. He stars.
Hollywood
in them.
Does not shun Clint Eastwood.
Okay. I
mean, and he's 170 years old or whatever he is.
Right. I mean, and also I think there's a legitimate fear of Clint Eastwood. I mean, I think if they shun him, they feel that he may go on a rampage and murder them.
Perhaps.
And but, I wouldn't disagree with it, and I wouldn't mind seeing it.
I know what you're thinking, punk.
Go flat 30 Harry.
I love that movie. It's a fucking great movie.
Right.
All right. So I want to continue trashing Andrew Cuomo, though, because he is he's being accused of hiding numbers of pushing people, older people, back into nursing homes, causing multiple deaths, thousands of deaths, apparently.
So at least 1,000 people died.
That's what they say. And I need to see, you know, the data, but fuck, if that's true, if he put politics ahead of the lives of elderly people in nursing homes, fuck him 10 times over. I think Andrew Cuomo, to me, he was early on kind of, I want to revered is too strong of a word, but he was so respected because he was giving it to people straight when it came to the coronavirus. And the other guy, oddly, who was giving it to people straight and maybe hit us more than the rest of the country, was Mike DeWine. You know, these were two governors who could not be politically more different, who were respected for giving the straight dope.
I think the issue with Andrew Cuomo was that it wasn't that he was giving it to people straight, because he wasn't from the beginning. The issue with Andrew Cuomo was that he was pushing back against Trump, right? His whole shtick early on in this thing, he was just pushing back against Trump, which there were a lot of governors taking abuse from Trump that wouldn't, right? Like Mike DeWine is not a guy who was not going to fight or argue with Trump. He was just going to, hey, these are the numbers, and this is what we would like to do, and hopefully you guys will join us
and
wear a mask.
Go home at 10 o'clock.
Right, and please leave, you know, my director of health alone because she's a really nice lady and blah, 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 right? Yep. That's Mike DeWine. Andrew Cuomo, fuck you, Trump. I'm going to run my state the way I want to run my state. I'm going to do my own thing, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. This is what we're going to do. If you got a problem with it, fuck right off. And the attorney general in New York is probably going to, you know, drop charges on you anyway, so fuck off, right? It sounds great. It was all good. Didn't have a problem with it. He took some heat off of guys like DeWine and people who were trying to do the right thing in a situation that was just unprecedented. But this thing with the nursing home was an issue way back when. It was a story then, but it got buried. And the media, to a degree, dropped the ball. Why? Because of what he was doing, pushing back against Trump. Let's not bullshit, right? They liked him because he was the one pushing back against Trump. So they gave him a pass on this.
Yeah,
but
that's fair.
Now, the problem is that it's come to pass because guess what? People fucking died, right? So Andrew Cuomo needs to be held to account. If they impeach him, they impeach him. One, it's not my state. Two, even if whether it's my state or not, what he did was wrong. And he needs to be held to account for it, right? And if we're going to sit there and talk about Trump being held to account for what he did, and we're going to talk about the governor in Texas being held to account for what he's not doing, and Ted Cruz being held to account for fucking skipping off to Cancun in the middle of a fucking tragedy in his own state, then this fucking guy, Andrew Cuomo, I don't care how much I like his brother and his brother's show, what Andrew Cuomo, what he did and the way he handled that situation in New York, and let's just be fucking honest about how he handled it, right? We gave him, I don't know why he got the pass that he did, but he didn't handle it that fucking great.
I think you just described why he got the pass he did.
Right, well, I know why he got it. Right, because he was pushing back on Trump, but he didn't handle the situation all that great. Yeah, he locked things down and told people that they couldn't go anywhere, but, I mean, there were so many issues in New York from jump. And listen, New York's a big state. There's a lot of fucking people. It is not an easy gig. either way, he didn't handle it great, and now it's coming to pass. And so now they need to figure out what they're going to do. And by they, I mean the media. Are you going to now turn around and crucify him for what you should have been on his ass about back when this first started to go down, and save, maybe you could have saved some people's lives, forcing him to change his policy and come out and be transparent about it? Or are you going to act like, oh, well, this is all a surprise to us, and now we need to crucify you for it now, right? Or do you just kind of raise the stink and give him a pass, and then he ends up being the governor for another 4 years? I don't know, right? I mean, my vote is eviscerate his ass. I don't give a fuck.
I don't either.
You know, I mean...
I've trashed Andrew Cuomo for a long time, mostly on the SAFE Act, which is a gun law that was just really dumb.
Right.
But then, being completely transparent, maybe I even said on the show, I initially was behind him when I thought he was being a straight shooter who was giving us the facts. He's now been exposed for being a scumbag. I mean, I can't think of a better word.
I mean, there's probably better words,
but that's the best I can come up with right now.
I don't know the exact facts. I don't know exactly what happened, right? So before I go throwing around he's a scumbag or whatever, but what I do know is from what I've seen, he was a major part of why people lost their lives.
Yeah.
And that can't
and
go.
There are elderly people in nursing homes.
Right. Like, you got to protect those who can't protect themselves, and you didn't do that. You can't fail.
And if he did it for political reasons, that's why I'm calling him a scumbag. If I'm wrong about that, I will apologize.
Whether he did it for political reasons or not, I'm sorry. We got it. Like, there's got to be more accountability. We can't say, oh, well, like, you fuck up to the point where people lose their lives. Right, I get that you were trying to do the right thing, and I get that the job is hard, but you got to be fucking held accountable for this shit. That's part of the problem. We will give a person a pass. We will fucking twist ourselves in knots to give political leaders passes on things. Right? Oh, well, he was doing it for, like, his heart was in the right place and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's unfortunate that these people died. It's unfortunate that this happened. It's unfortunate, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, ultimately, blah, 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 democratic capitalism wins. We go on. Right, and then the person is allowed to stay in the politics. They're allowed to get reelected. They're allowed to, you know, continue on and say, yeah, that really sucked, but ultimately we're gonna do better going forward, whether they do or they don't. I say hold his feet to the fire, impeach him if you have to. Next guy, learn from this guy's mistakes. Don't do that. Take everybody's life seriously, and you don't have this sort of fucking problem. If you don't drill this guy. Like, you wouldn't do it with Trump, and if you don't do it with Cuomo, expect something, the next fucking tragedy to happen, expect lives to be lost, because there's no accountability.
And again, I will not defend Andrew Cuomo just because he's a Democrat, just because he's a liberal. We've gone over our normal time, and I want to throw an option to you. We either discuss Joe Manchin, who you want to give me shit for, because he is a West Virginia senator.
No,
we can discuss what happened with the beer I opened in my house earlier today, if you want to have fun with that.
Well, I mean, Joe Manchin, who cares? He's showing his, I mean, Joe Manchin, you know, Lindsey Graham, all these people with their hypocrisy, you know, going after Neera Tanden over her tweets are just ridiculous and absurd, right? I mean, we could talk about it another time. Your beer, though, that was...
You're welcome. I'm throwing this to
classic.
You.
Like, you open it...
I opened a homebrew from a friend, and it went champagne bottle on me.
I mean, as soon as you opened it, it was problematic, right? It starts to overflow, and you're like, oh, shit. Right? So then you start to go towards the kitchen, which is the right move, although the bathroom is right here, so you could have made it to the bathroom and probably made
less of a mess. In retrospect, that would have made less of a mess. You're correct.
And I was like, oh, he's going right. So you go right, and then, like, as you go right, I kind of dip my head to follow this, and then, like... What's impressive is that the flow of the beer coming out of the beer increased, right?
And I tried to cover the top, right, but I made a champagne bottle out of it.
You increase the pressure when you put your thumb over it, and then it, like, did it push your thumb off?
No, it did not push my thumb off.
Because the way it shot out of there, it looked like it might.
You know what? I felt like I owed it to you to lob the softball to you.
Nice.
Because that thing sprayed everywhere. Nice. It was a homebrew that a friend gave me.
All the way from your chair. Through the hall,
through the studio, into the kitchen,
around the
trail. Oh my god! It was. I'm glad to a degree that you didn't get this on video.
I'm disappointed.
I'm disappointed as well because, frankly, this would have been viral. Yeah. So I had a homebrew incident that What, I don't know. It was a mess, and it was very entertaining for Steve and I. And if we did anything,
you need to mop your floor.
I do need to mop my floor.
It's going
to
be sticky and maybe gross. My it's soul. Smell like a frat
and,
house in here.
And maybe my soul. You ready to roll?
Yep.
We are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you for listening. We are out. If we had the video to share, we would. It was comical. Hope you enjoyed this. We're done.